Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I will remind you that we are on soundcloud.com/Taylor-report and also on facebook.com/The Taylor Report. And we are joined today by the president of FDU hyphen in Kingi, Justin Bahunga. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Phil.
It's very good to be talking to you. This past January 28, a couple days ago, you noted in an article, which is published at FDU-Rwanda.com, a statement on the 60th anniversary of democracy in Rwanda. Now, of course, Rwanda is much in the news. People don't associate the word democracy with it these days. Tell us about the importance of the 60th anniversary of becoming a republic.
Thank you so much, Phil. I would start by what you just said, that nobody now associates Rwanda with democracy. And celebrating democracy seems to be a bit bizarre. But it's true, because if you look at Freedom House report, 2019, Rwanda score is 22% in terms of political and civil rights. Mm-hmm. And in terms of world happiness report index, Rwanda comes number 150 from 153 countries. The only three countries behind Rwanda is Zimbabwe, Afghanistan, and Sudan. And that actually translates what is happening in Rwanda. But at the same time, we feel that how to remind people that some time back, 60 years ago, the people themselves rose up against a social injustice, social exploitation, and decided to overthrow an absolute monarchy and replace it with a republic, res publica, where the government is elected by the people and for the people and work for the people. And then, as you said in our report, what we see now is an absolute monarchy when only one person is in control. As the king was at that time, he was the one who gave life and death, who decided who is going to be killed, who is going to stay alive. And today is exactly the same. But the difference, as we said in our report again, that there is now repression across borders. It is contained within Rwanda, but today, the government or the state goes to get people from outside, it's the critics. And that's the human rights report, you called it repression across borders. It can kidnap. There was the latest case of Sabagina, a U.S. citizen, a permanent resident of the U.S., someone received the highest civilian award, is picked and taken to Rwanda. So briefly, that's what I could say, why we should, the same that people DSA and his rights, that Rwanda is not associated now with democracy, but we still, we feel, and that's why we are here, and why we're in opposition, it will restore that republic, which is not working for the people.
Again, as we're speaking to President of the FDU hyphen in Kingi, Justin Bahunga. And Justin, you know, that was such a historic step. It's so unfortunate that people are ignoring, you know, the progress in the struggle to end colonialism, to gain independence for African people who had lived under colonial rule. That you did have an absolute monarchy, and some of the people in today's ruling group in Rwanda, they were part of that monarchy, weren't they?
They're the children, the grandchildren of that elite. That was ruling during the monarchy, yes.
Yeah. And the outline for us a little bit what a republic is, because I know, for example, you point out in your article, there's basically one party, that's, which is a violation of Republican principles. But in 1961, there were opposition parties, right? There were a variety of parties.
Yes.
If you could speak to that.
Yes, we, from 1957, and very interestingly, I think it's people to know that there were reports of injustices, especially discrimination based on ethnicity. And the UN made a different report to say that this issue should be resolved. And the Hutu, who are the majority and exploited, tried to raise concerns and demands for equal opportunity. But then the response of the king was that there's no problem, there is no divisions in Rwanda, and that those who speak about ethnicity are people who are communists, who are fighting against the system. And if you compare with today, again, you have what they call the policy called Indumunyarwanda, I'm a Rwandan. We try to say there are no ethnic groups in Rwanda. Which again saying, if you say that there are different ethnic groups, you are said to be sectarian, and you can even be brought before the courts of law. Now, the political parties were there, the different political parties. The key ones were the monarchist, which is UNAR. And then the other one, which was mainly the top leadership, were Hutus, which was Parime Hutu. And there was another, Raden, which was both Hutu and Tutsis, a bit of a mixture. But then all of them wanted to have democracy, to have reform. But the insistence and the refusal of the king and his inner circle led to explosion, because they started now persecuting those people who said, we want reform. And what people don't know, that at the beginning, even the Hutu leadership, the Parliament Hutu, wanted a constitutional monarchy, until the council of the king, the advisor of the king, said, we don't have nothing to share, there's no problem. As unfortunate it is today, that there is a problem, that there is no ethnicity, we are all Rwandans. Mm-hmm. Because the issue, and if that's what you think FDU, the issue is not that exist ethnicity, ethnic groups. The key issue is social and political exclusion. And when you have that, people can regroup around their groups, around their grievances, to demand. So that's where we differ from the present current government. So indeed, we had political parties, but now we had so-called political parties in Rwanda. Only two, one which is led by Ngabire, which is trying to speak up, but then he does not be accepted to be registered. And another one, Ntaganda, but all the others are being forced to be in a forum which is controlled by the government.
Mm-hmm. This concept of the republic and its your article on the 60th anniversary underlines that those principles of 1961 have to be revisited, and it occurs to me that the Arusha Accords, which were to bring peace to Rwanda in 1994, that was an attempt to actually establish a solid foundation of a republic where the various parties were identified. They all met and they all signed the agreement. Okay. And that was the moment, was it not, where it was growing into a true republic was 1994.
Absolutely, absolutely right, Phil. It was just to say, these are the issues, and issues we feel democracy the best so far. And that's what Churchill was saying, not a panacea, but at least is the best form of government so far, which can help to resolve social issues. Of course, Arusha exactly has set up a system where people would be consulted, which the base of the public is elections, is that the people are the source of power who control the system. And exactly that's why the current government didn't want that sort of system. I didn't want any political arrangements which puts in accept every stakeholder to take part in the administration of the country and want to go it alone. And the only way to do it, which was by force, by military force, and all this work which had been done for over two years was just thrown into pieces by this trend to stifle or to kill in the bud any system that takes into account the grievances or the concerns of the people. And that's why even today, it's very clear that the government cannot manage the power in the country, cannot manage societal demands, which are many times divergent, incompatible, without resorting to coercion or force. The contrary to all the fundamentals of a republic, where people have to be accountable, that the power is in the hands of the people who don't, who give the power, and they take it away. And that's what we are saying now. If, and as you said, that the system is good, is whatever they say outside, let's go before the people and they present different programs, and then people will choose, but not to impose yourself. Again, something which is contrary to what you call a republic. And what we are saying, what you are saying now, is the name, it is just a republic in name, but what it is really is absolute monarchy in practice.
Yeah. Again, it's Justin Bahunga, he's president of FDU, Hyphen and Kingi. And you can find, if you go to FDU, Hyphen and Kingi, you will find the positions of the party on the internet. This matter of being a true republic, where it's by the people, of the people, for the people, it also makes for a less belligerent state, does it not? I mean, Rwanda, for some reason, has problems on almost every border. Can you talk about why is that? Why do they have these problems with Burundi? Why do they have these problems with Congo? Why with problems with Uganda?
My view is that when you have got a democratic system of government, then to keep people together, you have to say there is external danger, there is external threats. That's one. Secondly, I think is that, you know, the whole region is unstable. So once you destabilize all your neighbors, people say we can't add another instability by touching or trying to criticize the government. We might lead to instability in that country, and we add another unstable country in the region which is unstable. So that could be a policy of causing destabilization, so you remain a gnosis of stability, and so external pressure is reduced. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, again, it's something that a democratic system cannot accept. If you look at the border with Uganda, even during the war with RPF, there was never a closure of the border except where there was fighting. But today, there is the border is closed, and Uganda is the biggest partner, in term commercial partner with Rwanda. And you have seen many time now you have several cases where people have been shot by the Rwandan soldiers trying to cross into Uganda to get good foodstuffs. In a way that the border with Uganda looks like now the Berlin Wall, were from East Germany to West Germany. Again, this again is a sign and a symptom of the Tory regimes that they are normally aggressive, they have aggressive foreign policies.
Yeah. We have also a problem of major powers who take an interest. And it seems we now are going to have a new administration in Washington, but there are members of that administration, Ms. Samantha Powers particularly, who favored one country against another. And she basically incited Rwanda against Burundi. Do you have a concern at FDU Nkingi about whether or not they might be resuming that?
Oh, I assume that people must have learned a lesson that the policy of appeasement, the dictatorial system does not work. And also I feel that the work in the interest of the United States. And we feel it is not in the interest of the United States for Rwanda to be a stabilizing factor in the region. And it will be also, as you have seen, that if you compare the Rwanda and Burundi, Burundi now is at least is got a better system of governance than Rwanda. So if now you use, you support a dictatorial system of government against a government which is a popular government, which is being elected, and with all the campaigns, with the political parties, then I think it's not in the best interest of the United States now to continue supporting a system that, by the way, all indications show, which has got actual factors of self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it will be working in the interest of the United States, and also, and by consequence, for the interest of the people of the region. Yeah, the U.S. has got an interest in having a stable, peaceful, Great Lakes region
mm-hmm.
than if it is unstable. And I can quote, actually, remember the Albright, the minister, the Secretary of State of America during Clinton time. He had a meeting. He met at the African Unity meeting in Addis Ababa in 1997. And as she said, that if there is, I said, Africa matters, if there is a part of Africa that matters, it is well, the Great Lakes region. Not only because of its resources, both my mineral resources and human resources, but also it's the heart of Africa. If you touch it, then actually it disturbs the whole of Africa. So I think this time around, they have learned a lesson, even those who supported the Rwandan regime, that as of today, it is in the best interest of the United States and everybody else, and even with the body of the Great Lakes, for a system of government that respects the rule of law, respects human rights, and prizes justice.
Yeah. This is Justin Bahunga of RDU hyphen Nkingi. And Justin, lastly, I want to just ask you, it's a chance to tell Canadians, warn about this matter of the extraterritoriality, the tendency to kidnap and murder opponents. And of course, we have in mind the kidnapping of Paul Rusesabagina, but he wasn't the only one. He's landed in a courtroom. Others have been murdered. If you could talk about that. And I'll also just say it's fdu-rwanda.com if you want to read the statement on the 60th anniversary of democracy in Rwanda, but I think it would really be helpful if Canadians understood that they should not be aiding and abetting this power of President Kagame. And perhaps you could talk about that, the Rusa Sabagina case, and how you would like governments to respond around the world to Rwanda's extraterritorial claims.
Thank you so much, Phil. I think I can first quote Martin Luther King, who says, complacency in the face of such an injustice is the same as complicity. And this, what is happening now, it has been due to the complacency of some of the big powers, including the Canada, that slowly by slowly, step by step, the government one has gone so far, even to a point where the situation is almost reversible towards another explosion. Because of all this is happening, is you don't have to be a prophet of doom to know that all this cannot just end there. Because that, again, it was the minor PI is a report of the United Nations General Assembly, is a Kenyan, about freedom of association and assembly. Talking about Rwanda, he says the system is not sustainable. And they're creating the very conditions that led to genocide. So anybody who is helping this time around, a system that hell bent through the country to another explosion, then that country is complicit. And they have to be accountable in the end. And it's good you have asked me that question, because if it happens, I'm not planning, because now when you say it can happen, you say, yeah, we are planning. I'm not planning anything. It's the same issue causes the same problems. So that when this happens, then we not say we never knew. When they say never again, we say never again, it only can be only valid if you remove the conditions that led us where we are. But these governments are creating the very possible conditions that is our situation. And as a party, people think that actually because we are so power hungry. No, we are saying, can you help us? That was the government. Can you help us to preempt a situation that can lead us to the situation that led to genocide? That's what we are asking. Yeah. We are not asking for favors. We are not going to pull us to take us. We are saying, help us avoid another explosion. Yeah. And I thank you for giving us this opportunity again to tell the Canadian audience that don't say when it happens. And I'm feeling very bad, very bad when I think about it. And I want somebody who can tell me something different, more positive, rather than that what is happening, the conditions are worse than those which led to the first problem of genocide.
Yeah. Well, Justin Bahunga, president of FDU, hyphen in Kingi, we thank you very much, and thank you for that excellent article on the 60th anniversary of the Rwandan Republic. Long live the Republic. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much indeed, Phil Taylor. Thank you so much for this opportunity, especially to talk to our people in Canada and so on, that please help us to prevent anything that can take us back to dark times that we have lived. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.